For the last 8 weeks, if you have been a part of what's been going on here at East Brainerd, you know we've been on a journey together. And during that time, during that road trip, we've been playing and listening to the songs of the Jewish pilgrims who took road trips to Jerusalem. And they would travel on an annual basis for the feast days, and so we have listened to what is known in our Bibles as the Songs of Ascent. You can find them in the book of Psalms there in your Bible, beginning in Psalm 120, going through number 134. Now, we've only focused in and listened to half of these songs over the last 8 weeks. And we have focused in on themes of repentance and defiant trust. We have discussed the importance of being part of a faith community and the responsibilities that being a part of a faith community brings, specifically to those who are marginalized. We have sought our Lord's help, believing that He is ever present in the aspect of our lives. And we have invited each other to enjoy a seat at God's table. And I hope that you've enjoyed the trip that we have taken and been a part of. And I want you to remember that you can continue to read and to listen to, as we have talked about, these songs of ascent, even though we're not going to be able to hit all of them in this particular series. And look, I appreciate the person who last week told me that they had really been enjoying this series and they wish that they could hear more lessons focused on these particular psalms. Thanks, Mom. I'm glad you listen and watch each week, and I appreciate that encouragement. It really makes me feel good. But we just ran out of time, and we knew that this was going to happen. We have been looking at these leading up to our celebration of Easter here in just a couple of weeks. And so we have been using these psalms, trying to at least get into that mindset and to begin think like those pilgrims who would have been going to Jerusalem in order to celebrate Passover, those who would have been going and not realizing the events that were going to be taking place there in the holy city when Jesus would be arrested and then crucified. But we knew that we wouldn't have enough time to hit them all. And so we've just kind of put things on shuffle, and we've randomly looked at different psalms that they would have been singing. And if you would like to actually keep studying those, you actually don't have to have me around at all. All you have to have is ChatGPT. Did you know this? Anybody here, who is familiar with what ChatGPT is? Let me see a raise of hands. I see a couple of young people in the back going, "That's how I write my papers, man. That's what I do." Now, ChatGPT, if you're unaware, and if you've never used this computer AI device before, apparently all you have to do is go to this website, and then you type into the search box whatever content that you desire, whatever you want it to create, and then voila, there it is. I say apparently because I know I've heard about this program, and my kids have used it in different ways. I know that. But I have never actually used this particular app or this particular AI device before. But it was a pretty busy week, right? It was a pretty busy week for me. Not only did I have sermon prep for this morning and all the other things that go on when it comes to the church week, but I'd agreed to speak at a retreat for members of the student group that's a part of the Laurel Church of Christ Student Center, and so I already knew that I was going to have to be gone for a couple of days here this weekend, and there were three different messages that I was going to need to put together for them, and so, you know, I thought, hey, maybe ChatGPT can give me some ideas, and so I pulled up the website, and I typed in, "I need lesson ideas for Psalm 134. I thought, all right, maybe it'll just give me, you know, a little wording here, a little idea or something. And so I said, "I need some lesson ideas for Psalm 134. I hit enter. And guys, immediately, all of a sudden, this message, this sermon, this lesson appeared on my screen. It probably took like, I don't know, 6 seconds. And you talk about feeling useless. I mean, I really did. I got bummed out. What normally takes me 6 to 10 hours to do took less than 6 seconds right there on my screen. And so I quickly deleted that voodoo, and I'm like, ooh. I don't know who put this together, but it wasn't from the Lord, I'm pretty sure. Get thee behind me, Satan. But look, if you would like to read more about the Psalms of Ascent, go to ChatGPT and type in whatever psalm that you want, and just don't compare it to any of my sermons, all right? I'd appreciate that. Because not only this week did I have the realization that quickly I am being replaced by a computer, but I was already dealing with the fact that last Sunday, after having... Remember when I had the lunchroom table that was right up here? So I had this lunch table up here, and I referred to it a lot. I even sat at that particular table, and I referenced it. And in many ways, that lunchroom table was the lesson. Well, later on in the afternoon, there was a group of people who came here for the baptisms that you saw recognized earlier this morning. And within that group, there was someone who had been here earlier in the morning, who had been a part of the message with the lunchroom table that was sitting right here. Well, there was a person who was here for the baptism who made the comment, why is there a lunchroom table on the stage? Well, that was what Chris was using, you know, this morning. Oh, I know, he was talking about a lunchroom table. It was a really good lesson, but now there wasn't a lunchroom table on the stage the whole time, though, right? And people were like, well, yeah, there was. There was a table right up. No, there was not. There was not a table. And then finally, Jason Robertson said, Amber, it was there the whole time Chris was sitting at it. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I wasn't going to tell who that was. So forgive me this morning if I've got some confidence issues, right? Because apparently all the time and effort that I put into messages, ChatGPT can do it a lot quicker, and you don't pay attention to it anyway, so it really doesn't matter. Oh, all the hard work, the ingenuity, the creativity. That's why it's important, friends, to have a proper perspective. And it's why I love the final song that we're going to look at here in our road trip. Open up your Bibles, pull out your tablet, get out your phone, find Psalm 134. Psalm 134, the feasting and the celebrating are over. You have made some wonderful memories, but now it's time to begin the long journey home. The camels are all packed up, the kids are somewhere. You're not for sure where they are, but you're pretty sure they're with somebody else as a part of your caravan. You look at all the things that are piled on the pack animals, and it just seems like you're taking more home than what you brought. Everybody is tired. Everybody is ready to hit the road. It's time to go home. And as you pull through the gates, you turn and you take one last glimpse at the city of Zion. One last look at Jerusalem. And you see the sun glistening off the temple. And you think to yourself how blessed you have been. How blessed you have been to make this trip and to have been in this place. To have seen these things. To have sang these songs and to have been in this city. You recognize that coming right up here beside you is a group of Levites. The individuals whose job it is to minister or to serve in the temple. And as they are passing your caravan on the way to minister that evening before the Lord, seeing them reminds you of what this trip has all been about. In fact, part of you is jealous that you are not from the tribe of Levi because, oh, what it would mean to you to be able just to stay in the temple. After the week that you've enjoyed, you understand why King David once wrote that if he could have just one wish, it would be to live in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. And so you call out to those Levites who are walking by, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. And they smile at you and they wave back and they say, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. Our playlist this morning ends with the pilgrims imploring God's servants to keep on praising, and then the servants asking God's ongoing blessing for the pilgrims. It's a back and forth farewell that is given with grateful emotion. I want you to picture in your mind, windows roll down, the sunroof open, and there you are, you're leaving. Maybe you're leaving Auburn or you're heading out of Tuscaloosa. You're beginning to turn down the interstate to get outside of Knoxville, or you're getting out of Gainesville. You're leaving Athens, and with your head, you're leaning out of the car and you're shouting, War Eagle, or High Tide, or Go Big Orange, or man, you're doing that gator chomp. Maybe you're barking at everybody that's going by. Which, by the way, is one of the weirdest things. I mean, I get having different, I get this, and having certain, battle cries that you yell out, but to look at another person and go, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know. You're excited. I get it. Okay. You do that because you're happy and you're excited and you want to share with those who are around you the joy that you have because, well, maybe you just won one of the games in the Final Four and you are going to the championship. Maybe you just beat your big rival. Maybe it was a comeback. It was an overtime victory. And you didn't think that your team was going to be able to pull it out, but they did. Maybe you broke a long losing streak, and now finally you're victorious. And you just want to shout about it. And you want to tell it to the world. And so this final psalm that we're looking at, Psalm 134, that's what's happening. It's the final cheer of joyous worshipers. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. May the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Jerusalem. These pilgrims who took road trips to Jerusalem, they were not just spectators, but they were participants in God's story. You see, they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles as if they had experienced firsthand those very blessings of God. They had not particularly been there, but it was their history. It had not happened to their parents necessarily, or to their grandparents, or even to their grandparents' grandparents, but they had a connection to what God had done for their people. And so they went to Jerusalem to celebrate. And the way Psalm 134 depicts it, because they believed that they had been blessed, they praised. You see, praise is the natural response of a people blessed by God. There are certain expectations, I think, that come from being a part of God's story. Now, we don't have the same connection to those ancient feasts. It's why tonight, during Mosaic worship, that we're going to talk about Passover and talk about those individual items and what they meant. And some of those who are going to be in attendance tonight are going to be able to share and to taste and to feel and to have it become more visceral in order to open up our understanding of the importance of that event. And maybe it helps us understand our own time of feasting. The communion that we shared this morning, it connects us to the continuing narrative of God, to where each time that we share bread and cup together, we are being reminded that there is something, yes, that happened not only to us, but to the people of God for generations. And we are connected to those people. We are connected to those generations. We are sharing bread and cup just like they did to remember the blessing of God through Jesus Christ. You see, like those Jewish travelers, we celebrate the redemption and the provision of God in our lives. We have experienced firsthand the blessings that God has poured out in the person and in the actions of Jesus. So doesn't it make sense then that we should also be rolling down the windows, so to speak, and shouting or living out a life in continual praise? Because we are Jesus' people. We are people who have been redeemed. We are people who have been forgiven. We have been people who have been set apart. We are people who are part of the kingdom of God. And so what you see when you begin to look and think about what happened with Jesus and his sacrifice and all the things that God accomplished through the life of Jesus the Christ, there is this common thread that then runs through his life and his ministry. I love how Luke, in the writing of his gospel, just goes from beginning to end, focusing on those who found themselves part of what God was doing, those who found themselves as part of the blessing, and he points out how they just happily gave praise to God. Or they literally spoke well of God. They thanked him. They bragged on him. They sang songs to him. They prayed in his name. They told others about him. God's name and God's goodness were on their lips. And Luke seems to write with Psalm 134 in mind how that praise is the natural response of a people blessed by God. So I'm just going to run through some of the things that are in the Gospel of Luke and from the beginning to the end. And I just want you to see how this sets up things for us as we are pilgrims on our own road trip. Mary, in the first chapter of the story, saying, "My soul does magnify the Lord," as she considered what God was about to do. Zechariah praised God the instant that his voice returned, and he told everyone that God had sent a mighty Savior. The angels filled the sky with praise when they announced Jesus' birth. The shepherds, you remember those guys, after they saw the Savior there in the feed box, they went back to their flocks, it says, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. When Simeon saw Mary and Joseph at the temple, he took the Christ child from their arms and began to praise God. Then there's this woman that comes along, remember Anna? And she comes along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and then she begins to praise God. And she talked about the child to everyone. Luke makes sure to highlight in the nativity story that it is just praise upon praise upon praise because the people were being blessed by God. But he doesn't stop there. He wants us to know that when Jesus healed a paralyzed man, that the man picked up his mat and he went home. And do you know what he went home doing, Jan? Praising God. Yeah. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, Luke writes. And they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." And certainly they had. When Jesus gave life back to a widow's son, Luke says that great fear swept across the crowd. And they, guess what? Praised God, saying, "Surely God has visited his people today." Once Jesus saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. For 18 years she had been unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." He then reaches out and touches her, and instantly she could stand up straight. And Luke says, guess what? How she, what? Praise God. Well, of course she did. Of course she did. She had been touched. She had been blessed by God. But she wasn't the only one. In Luke's telling of Jesus' story, lepers praise God, blind beggars praise God, even Roman soldiers praise God. And just to make sure that we don't miss the point that praise is that natural response of a people who have been blessed by God, when Luke begins to wrap everything up in his writing, and I want you to see this, it'll be up here on the screen, it says that while Jesus was blessing his disciples, it says he left them and was taken up to heaven. And so they worshiped him. And then they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple doing what? Say it out loud, church. Praising God. It's Psalm 134. It's right there. It's the people on a pilgrimage realizing the blessings that have come into their life because they have been touched by God. And so they praise. The story of Jesus begins and it ends with praise because it's the natural response of a people who have been blessed by God. And so I want to encourage us, look, I want to encourage us to be a people of continual praise And looking at Psalm 134, let me put it this way. Let's be a people who praise verbally. I know that might sound strange because you think, well, of course, that's what you do. You voice something, right? You voice praise. But I think we just need to be reminded sometime to speak well of God. Oh, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. I think we need to say something. We need to pray something. We need to say or sing something. That's why I loved having those fifth graders here, up here on the stage today. And I wish you could have heard the conversation that went on before everything began as they were sitting over here in their sweatshirts announcing that they were part of the Bridge Tween Ministry. And there was conversation about the song, hey, we got everything ready, everybody know the song we're going to do, and here's where we're going to stand. And then the question was asked, Carrie asked him, said, what's the purpose of this today? And they all together in one voice said, to praise God. Yeah. And I know that sometimes we can think, well, you know, if people are being too vocal, well, it's all showy, you know, and we had kids that were up here, and well, that was just showy getting them up, or maybe you know people in your own life, and it's like they're always talking about God, or they're always singing some kind of a song, and I don't know where the switch was flipped that all of a sudden we started looking at people who had the courage to praise God in the presence of others as being showy, instead of just being a people who are blessed. Oh, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. We need to say something. We need to pray something. We need to sing something. Psalm 107 and verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Because guess what? When you see others praising God, it gives you a little bit of courage to say, you know what? Maybe I could praise God too. One thing I know that as I watched those kids up here and as they were smiling and as they were singing, most of them didn't even need a microphone for you to be able to hear them. I mean, those of you who are sitting right here in the front, you could hear them loud and clear. And guess what it encouraged the rest of you to do? It encouraged the rest of you to what? To sing and maybe even to smile. And you are participating perhaps in a way that you haven't before. Why? Because you saw others praise God verbally. There is someone who needs to hear the story of how God has touched your life. So say something. Say it verbally. And say it in a group. Say it communally. Trying to keep my L's together. Praise God with a group. Psalm 134, oh praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who serve at night in the house of the Lord. Do you realize that there were Levites who were there in the temple day and night? That there is continual praise that was going on in the temple because there were continually people who were coming to the temple. Worship was a continual communal event at the Jewish temple. And people were present day and night offering their praise to God. And I know that every generation has its share of people who say yes to Jesus but no to church. And I know that you can praise God by yourself in your PJs on your couch. And I know that all of our online watching has enabled that to be a much larger part perhaps of our spiritual life than it has been in the past. But God is a community. And friends, we are made to do life together. And throughout Scripture, the people of God praise God together. And so praise God verbally. But also get excited about opportunities where you're able to praise God communally. Where we're able to come together just as this time here. Where we be together tonight at Mosaic and be able to offer up praise. And then one other L-Y. Praise God demonstrably. Psalm 134 again. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Let there be no doubt. Let your body express what your heart is feeling. And then let even your heart be awakened by your body. Psalm 63, verses 3 through 4. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Raising hands is an outward expression of an inner confession. And I'm really not sure where we got the idea that that proper worship always just means being quiet and sitting on our hands. But I do believe it's one of the greater disservices done in our fellowship. Because the fact that our children might learn from watching us as we watch a ball game, that our children might learn from watching us that it's all right to show more emotion when Tennessee or Alabama or Florida or Georgia or Auburn wins, show more emotion over that than what we show praising God together in church. I think it's shameful. I do. I think praise is the natural response of a people blessed by God. And so sometimes that means that we're going to stand, and sometimes that means that maybe we need to kneel. There are times it means that we're going to clap. It's times that it means that we're going to raise up our hands. It's times that it means that we're going to cry, probably. It means that there are going to be times where we're going to shout. That praise is going to be the natural response of a people blessed by God. And it's going to be demonstrated, and it's going to be physical, because it's an outward expression of an inner confession of gratitude. We leave the gates of Jerusalem, and we think about the words of the Levites. May the Lord who made heaven and earth bless you. And we look around and we see all kinds of reminders of that blessing. You know, our lives have been touched by God. We've been touched by His grace. We've been touched by His mercy. We've been touched by His forgiveness and His healing through Jesus Christ. Each of us has been blessed by God. And praise is the natural response of a people who have been blessed by God. And so I just want you to think for a moment this morning. Why do I praise? Why do I praise? What is the blessing that generates my praise? What is the blessing that causes me to verbally praise God? What is the blessing that gets me up on a rainy day and brings me to be with a group of other believers? What is the blessing that causes my hands to rise toward heaven? What is it that God has done that brings you to your feet or drives you to your knees? What causes your voice to, woohoo, man, I'm just excited about what it is that God has done. What is it? What is the blessing that motivates your praise? I said at the beginning that this weekend was pretty busy as I was a part of a retreat with the Christian Student Center there in Knoxville, part of the Laurel congregation. It was great to be there. Saw one of our own, Corbett Edmonds, is a part of that group. And as you would expect, he was running tech, right? Those of you that know him, that's no surprise. He helped things go without any problems. But I was struck not just by the people who were there, and not just by the time that we spend in praise, and the time that we spend in prayer, and the time that we spent opening up God's Word together. I was reminded of my blessings by this picture. I was reminded about the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And I wish that this picture could do justice to how good looking that guy in the sunglasses really is. I mean, it's hard, even with these new cameras these days, to really get the filter right. But if you will overlook just how poorly that guy turned out in the picture and focus on what is behind, wow, I wish you could have seen that. I wish you could have seen that with your eyes. Because that was a reminder of the blessing. And so it reminded me then when I went to get into my car that instead of listening to the Auburn, Florida basketball game, that I needed to praise God. That I didn't need to leave my praise on the mountaintop. And I hope that that is something that you're getting from all of these lessons that we've been going through. That This idea of praising God, the idea of focusing in and singing about unity and having messages that deal with trusting God and calling out to God for help and messages that focus on getting a seat around God's table. All of these things that we talk about and all these things that we have looked at in these songs of ascent, these are not just songs that we sing here or messages that we hear here, but these are attitudes and actions that we take from this place, that we leave the mountaintop and we go out with praise. And so, church, we've talked about it enough, and now we need to practice. So, church, get on your feet and raise your hands and lift your voice and praise the God who has blessed your road trip. Let's give Him praise.